we go into the cold. Da-da-da-da. I love you guys. See you guys later. Okay. Well, it's been a very interesting weekend. I don't think other people have weekends like this very often. I tend to have them a lot. But then again, I tend to bring them on. Last week I got rid of a recording because I was having a fit with God. You know, if people say we don't speak to God and God enough, I'll be really honest. I probably speak to God a little too much. Well, I should probably settle my mood better before I approach Him. And I hope He's a little more, you know, there is a Christian concept of, you know, the Christian concepts of blasphemy and heresy and things like that. I tend to discount them in that I think God is a reasonably tough character. You know, people tend not to believe in God because he doesn't send down lightning bolts anytime something's happening that he doesn't like. And you go, well, first and foremost, I think a godly characteristic is a great deal of self-restraint. You know, to say he's not going to behave like that is actually, I think, more of a godly tendency. He is not a Greek or Roman god. Who are basically petulant little children. You know, their godliness comes from either immortality or amazing power. And my concept of godliness is self-restraint, which I need to work on. You know, I say, you know, a lot. I don't remember if I ever got to the point to where I could stop doing that. It'd be good if I could get rid of that little tick. Anyway, I was talking to God and Heavenly Father, pardon me, and getting quite animated and pleading. I'll tell you a little bit of the stuff that led up to it. We've got about an hour here. Of course, I recently changed from being a salaried person to being hourly, and I think I came to a bit of a realization, and it kind of started building over this last week, that this is really far bigger of a problem than I really figured it was at the beginning when it happened. You know, in some ways it's good because if you worked longer hours, you'd get better compensated for it. Of course, the whole thing is they don't want you to work more hours. They want you to work only 40 hours a week. It starts to become obvious that concept is a real detriment to getting things done. And I think finally, on Saturday morning, it all came to head this Saturday, which was what, 2 days ago, to the real implications of this. I'm no longer a professional in the work that I do. I'm just a hired gun. I said, and I'm sorry. I try to conduct myself in a professional manner. And I know, it says professional doesn't mean, well, no, it does in a way. In the way you dress, in the way you comport yourself, in the things that you do. But also in the way you look at life and you look at what, you know, and how your days play out. I behave like a professional, you know. I'm not a direct supervision person. I don't like directly supervising people, and I certainly don't like being directly supervised. But so, not only, you know, so when people say, well, you need to become a manager, and you go, no, I don't think I do. It says, but what I do need to be is I need to be a, you know, says, I need to be a professional among professionals. If I'm supervising somebody, it says, that person needs to be a professional too. It says, I don't even give much thought to other people. So, you know, I seem to recall the one time I had a secretary, or I've had secretaries which I shared with other people. I wouldn't give them stuff to do, because frankly, I could get done everything that needed to be done, and it needed to be done a certain way, and I needed to have control over what that was. It caused me a control freak. I don't think that's problematic, because one needs to control how one is perceived. And the first and biggest thing is if that person that's doing work for you, secretary, administrative assistant, whatever you want to call it, isn't putting forth that same level of professionalism that you expect of them. Then they're unacceptable. And either they need to rise up to the level, or they need to be gotten out. Anyway, so I realized on Saturday that my status, I had just taken a de facto demotion from being a professional down to just being an assignment taker. I said, and I'm sorry, this is wholly unacceptable. I said, I cannot remain in this state. It is suicide to my professional career. And I'm not a careerist in the mind of those kind. Well, no, you know, I guess in a way I need to become one. But these things need to be higher goals, that you're working towards something in a larger sense. So anyway, I had actually been working a little bit on family ascendancy. had been reading the history of education. I think education should be more of a family function. Now, in a poverty-stricken world, that becomes difficult when every family member typically needs to perform some sort of work in order to rise to their, in order to just keep family fed and clothed and housed. But education ends up being beyond that. But you have to understand, the actual act of getting an education, you know, people look at it as need to bring the school, well, the American concept of, it's a little cold out here now. The American conception of homeschooling is basically putting school into the home and setting yourself up as a homeschool teacher, which is, some people can do it, most people can't. I don't think it's necessary. Anyway, so I'm looking at the history of education to see how things go, how we got to where we are. I'm decently versed in John Taylor Gatto's view of it. But, as always, there are several views. You don't read one source, you read many on a subject. You, of course, always have to have a decent understanding of the way things are and the way things tend to go. But it never hurts to be looking for the way things should be or adjustments that you can make that would help you or help you to find, to get closer to truth, for instance. So Saturday morning, I go into bed, and I was talking to Lisa for just a few minutes about education, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what flipped the switch. I have to attribute it to Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit. So I need to be more specific. The Holy Spirit flipped that switch, and it began to be then. It was, I've just realized that I'm no longer a professional and that this may be a problem. And there was even talk of suing the university being unjustified in doing this. Of course, it was totally an institutional administrative move. It didn't reflect on me personally on any level, but that doesn't matter. Because out in the world, impression. Makes people say the same thing, you know, well, look, this is a demotion, you didn't, you know, and the whole thing, if you're going down, you're not going up. And so, yeah, there was talk about what I needed to do about this, and I always hear that same thing, well, you've got to leave. I said, this job needs to end, and frankly, it needs to end quickly. Before this starts becoming a larger issue. And I'm really quite good word for it. Anyway, so that just kind of dropped out of nowhere because I had not been thinking about that earlier. You know, it wasn't something that had built up. It had built up over the week, I think. And then, you know, we'll lay in bed for a while. And Lisa was saying, yes, yes, Jake, you just need to leave. Which is always important to get Lisa psyched up for these things because she is. You know, she gets very scared about these things. And I think that's a... I think that's a healthy reaction to it. You know, you don't want to walk away from a job that you have that seems stable. Of course, now Lisa's perception of it is that it's not as stable. I don't get a sense for that, but you know, things just happen. So, we got up, typical Saturday morning activities, stay in bed until about 8. That's usually me jacking the duff, like I say, because I tend to suck all the oxygen out of the room. The only one left standing is me. You go, that could either be looked at as a very positive thing or a very negative thing. So I don't want to be intimidating to anybody. But I am. But let's get back to that later. So we get up. I'm thinking about this, and I start poking around on the internet legal thoughts on the matter of suing and stuff like that. And I already said, you know what, if I do this, I said, this will spell the end of my employment career. You know, after this, I will have to be an independent contractor because, you know, no sane employer would hire somebody who most likely is going to you know, get them fired or, you know, is going to likely take them for a whole bunch of money. And the fact that the legal system is not going to award me anything close to what I would be paid for the rest of my career. That's just not in the cards. That and the likelihood that once I start this action, the first thing I'll do is you have to leave this job. We can't have actions here. And you're still working for the university. I said, so suing him was going to be worthless. And it's like, yeah. Plus, that bothers me on a certain level. I said, I am not a litigious person. So, anyway, I don't know what exactly made Foreign Service pop into my head, but that's exactly what popped into my head. Again, I credit it to the Holy Ghost, because it certainly wasn't anything that I was thinking of at the time. I have said very many times in the past, it's probably come into the recordings on occasion, that, it was time to get out of computer work. That I am not a technician. I mean, the money is decent. It's not wonderful, but it's decent. I have no interest in being a technician to a certain level. And I don't think I'm really that good of a tech. I'm okay, but I think it's other aspects of my life that make me good about that. Mostly, a sense of taking ownership of a situation, of saying, I'll see this through, I'll make sure this happens, I'll make sure this goes well. And that this is what defines me as a person. And the present job I have, especially with the downgrade, to say what it's supposed to be, it becomes more stark about the fact that I need to move on. You know, nothing, you know, has nothing to do with the work. It has nothing to do with the circumstances. My supervisor, who is fantastic, said he knew what to do with a person like me, which is basically just stay out of Jay's way and let Jay handle things. You know, and when I would go to interviews for technology stuff, they said, well, tell me about your experience with Bash. And they go, I've used it on a couple of occasions. I tend to grab experience and knowledge necessary to accomplish a task. You know. I think Betty Johnson said it best. I don't know if she used the term quite the same as other people do, but I think I understood what she meant. She says, Jay, you have this amazing ability to synthesize. You can take knowledge from one aspect of life, and you can use it in other places. I always think of it more as being a philosopher, being a big picture guy, and being able to say, let's look at human nature, let's look at, you know, not that I'm a specialist in any of these things. It says, just that I have a skill and a talent, I'd like to develop that. And in doing that, I come to find out that I can't remain doing what I'm doing. That it's unacceptable, which is what's happened with NMSU. So I went to the Foreign Service thing, and of course, there's all kinds of jobs out there. Right now, there's not, because everything is frozen because of the budget realities right now. Come March 1st, nobody knows what anybody's going to be doing. Because we don't know. This is where government gridlock, which usually I'm somewhat in favor of, gets in the way of all kinds of things. Come March 1st, most government functions are going to be cut to a certain level. And there's no way you can shove it from one thing to another. Of course, it's being used as a political football. That's always very exciting. Democrats are going to use to try to destroy the Republicans permanently. It might very well work. I'm an outsider to those things. You know, I find it to be kind of fun political theater. Except that, you know, the country is going down a rat hole. And I find myself looking out beyond that and saying, well, what do I need to do? What should people do to prepare for larger problems? Well, anyway, so I start looking at that, taking into account the fact that, say, I'm not a technology guy. I'm not a gadget guy. I'm just not that guy. the fact that I was good at it. I had always picked up computers as tools to accomplish something, you know, but never specialized in it so much that I was going to be able to compete on any significant level. I am a low-level computer tech. You know, is it the best I can do? No. But I think the best I can do has nothing to do with computers. At least not directly. When there are these opportunities for working in the Foreign Service, of course there's the whole IT part of it. They want IT people. And I just said no. Plus there was no opening. But then there was the whole thing of the generalist. When you go, that's me. There's very few generalist positions anymore. Our society is very much about that there needs to be a place where you become an expert in some field, and then they start trying to train you up on other aspects of life, either for management or for administration, stuff like that. You know, very few people come up with these skills from the beginning. I'm not speaking against the idea about the way that things are done. Most people, most employees are comfortable with being supervised by somebody that used to do what they did. Makes them feel better. As a person, you know, it kind of helps smooth out some of the rough edges that can happen between labor and management. But I'm not really like that, you know. I think I tend to be respected in what I do, not because of my technical skill, which I think is middling. I don't think it's amazing. It's through other aspects. And they're always popping out. They're always showing through. There's always little, you know, and I think if I were to go back to people who know me decently and who would be willing to be honest, would probably say, Jay, you know, we always knew that you were far more capable than what you were doing. You know, when you go, oh, Jay's a grant writer, and you go, not a professional one. He says, but I can pick up enough understanding and I can, I don't like to say bluff my way. I can do a good enough job to get things done. I don't think I could ever seriously compete with somebody who was genuinely excellent at it, you know. But that was definitely their calling. This is what they're good at. I don't think I could compete with those people. Nor do I really want to. But I can go right in and be competent. And in looking at the Foreign Service officer, which is a generalist position, I finally saw a fit between me and something, and a job. And so I did the application, so let's take the test. I get some confusing readings from them, but I can interpret that. This may move very quickly. which is good. I need it to move very quickly, I think. My feelings for this is not to put this aside. You know, everybody says, oh, sometimes it takes years to get into the Foreign Service. And you go, you know, it says, whatever it takes, it seems like that's what needs to be done. But I shouldn't be surprised if circumstances lift this stuff up. And that, well, I was talking about Lisa last night and this morning, around the bed was, you know, this needs to, that I probably need to change a few things. Just not to go crazy yet, but as we start getting closer and closer, especially to that oral examination, I probably need to have, number one, I hope I'm going to get thinned out here, or at least get a suit that does my shape better. Maybe not, you know. I have a suit now. It's a little severe. It makes me look like an undertaker. So that'll have to be remedied ultimately. I need to do what's required to be a leader in these things. I've always been a bit of a plain Jane. I don't need to make pretense that I'm something, you know. One doesn't need to fight in that world, but one does need to look like a person with some weight, gravity. Still be yourself, but present yourself well. And to present yourself openly, don't try to be humble as much as you're just trying to say, you know, I'm here to tell you who I am and what I'm about, and then they'll tell you the backstory rather than the things that I've done. The things that I've done really have no relevance. Says, what you're fishing for is the kind of person I am. You know. I think there's some understanding here of intelligence, of understanding, of being able to see a bigger picture and going for that. I said, I have always been a leader. In any position I've been in, I've always been a leader. Not the titular head, but the person who the person who gets looked to for being able to take command of a situation, that you want that person in charge of it, that when you put that person into it, it's going to happen. I think the phrase take ownership is ingrained in me. That I didn't read it in some book and then decide to start applying principles to try to become that kind of a person. I simply have always been that kind of a person. And I'll be out at the ripe old age of 45, not very ripe at all. It's almost like my body, my psyche, that which I am, yearns, screams from it. On the recording of the race this week, that was a scream from my more authentic self, saying enough is enough. It's time to do something. It's time to become the person that you are. And that's why I go before the earth. Because I think those are the kind of people that you're looking for. And it's, to a large extent, somewhat inexplicable. And I think that's what you guys are looking for, is that thing, trying to ferret it out. And to the point to where I've done part of your work for you, good for me. Let's look at it. Almost becomes an issue of who cares which track it is, whether it's management, whether it's administration, whether it's any one of these other things. So what works as a team, one does not compartmentalize. When it comes to a question of what should we do, your economic officer is going to have just as much to say and should be taken on the same level as your more administrative track people. Most people have training and experience in administration, but does that mean that we should just always defer to their decision? I think not. Not to be contrary, but to say we would be smarter if we took everybody's ideas into account. Let everybody think about it. We come from so many diverse, interesting backgrounds. Do I anticipate that I will rise faster than other people? I won't be surprised if I do. And the things I think I can bring to the table are far beyond what I've done. I've always done in bit far beyond my job title. All of it. I can't think of a time when I wasn't, so. Always been one of the special projects, man. Always been more. Don't mess with Jay. Let Jay do what Jay does. I've always respected the bosses that I think have liked me the most and respected me the most, that I respect the most, have been those that just say, don't micromanage Jay. That is a death knell. If I'm being micromanaged, that job ends. I've always been quite blessed. I believe there's a God up there. and that he knows me better than anybody else does. And he steers me to help me. I don't think I've made a mistake yet. You see, a person who's done a variety of things, done well, even gotten accolades. And what I've done, contractors don't get accolades. You just, you know, you just do things. So, the more I think about it, the more I ponder, the more I look at the whole thing, I need to have this or something like it. And to be honest, I don't see any place else where I can have something like this. This, as far as I'm aware of, is the door. I've tried to look at other possibilities, and they just don't. There's nothing comparable to this. Even when you look at it, you go, this is just the strangest, the most Byzantine looking procedure. But I think it's because it's looking for some other quality than other processes. It's not looking particularly for a skill set. It's looking for a pattern. You know, most of all, you're looking for a social person. And I felt drawn to this. And as I look back over my past, I think that this is, strangely, it doesn't look that way looking at a resume or a CV. I can do these things. One of my biggest things I need to do, I need to fluff off here quickly, is my timidity of saying something wrong. I think I mostly stutter. I don't know. I tend to get hung up. I need to stop. You know, that needs to end just from the standpoint of, Jay, have confidence in what pops into your head. Have confidence of its source, whether it is you or the Spirit. Continue to pursue it. And this will afford you this will help you more than anything else. This will get you the place. So, like I said, it's been a big weekend. I'm trying to comprehend, sort of wrap my head around all these things. What most comes to mind, or what pops into my head that I respect, is that this happening was partially an answer to my screaming earlier this week. I'm finally coming to God and saying, please help me. I feel like I'm just going nowhere. Help me to get somewhere. If one were to look at it objectively, this is probably the absolutely worst time to come into this system. You know, this is the time when budgets are down, things are uncertain. a lot of thinking and considering people would say, this is not a good time to change jobs. This is, you know, this is, one should hold where they are and just be grateful to have a job. And number one, I'm not really that type. I have a feeling of exceptionalism, and that exceptionalism always trumps all other considerations. And they even say in their thing, you know, it says even in difficult times, those who do well on the test and do well on the oral thing, we're still looking for those people. We're still trying to look for the best, the best of the best of the best, as the twins would say, from Men in Black. And that these guys are looking for people from whatever standpoint, from whatever avenue. It becomes obvious when it says, we don't care what your educational attainment is, we don't care what your past experience is. We don't care about any of that. What we care about is whether we think you're a good fit for this sort of work. And in looking at it myself, I think it's a good fit. And upon looking at all the tracks, I rated pretty high on all of them. There was aspects of each of them that interested me or that I thought I might do well. But, you know, there was always parts of it that it was, well, I don't know if I'll do well with that at all. I picked economic. I think I do have a somewhat more technical mind. And that tends to ride more toward that, although I am a generalist, you know. Let me go. I don't have specific skills. This is, but I can get things done. And I'll credit the Holy Ghost every time for that. If this job has taught me anything at all over these 8 years, is that I operate off of the Spirit much more readily than most people do. When I was younger, I always thought, Jay, you know what the perfect calling for you would be, and it seems to be exactly you, is a stake patriarch. Because that just screams Nemo all over it, you know. Quasi-independent, out there, you know, and the interesting thing is, this is probably the type of job that will allow that sort of work, especially in interesting circumstances. I'm going to see my family. I thought I was going to be late. Right, they might be late too, who's to say? Anyway, that would always be something good, and to be placed in one of those kinds of positions, would be interesting. Wouldn't be surprised if they said, Brother Nemo, we're calling you to be a patriarch, and we want you to function as a patriarch wherever you go. I'm accustomed to travel, heavy travel, and this will be a heavy travel sort of thing, you know. So I don't even know if the job of patriarch at large exists. I know there's a patriarch of the church that's somewhat kind of in mothballs. that's usually supposed to be a father to son sort of a thing. It hasn't always been. You know, at times it's been given to somebody else. But, you know, kind of a international mission sort of circumstance. You're dealing with districts, for instance, and patriarchal blessings need to be done. And that I've been, if you can look at it, you can say, well, you seem to be really uniquely prepared for this. And you go, I agree. My son's turned 13 years old today, and they're so excited. And I know that that is by child development standards, that's immature. Says, but you know what? Says, I'm beyond that a little bit. To say there's some better thing about still being excited about birthdays, about still finding joy in life, in a world where joy might be a little more difficult to find now. And you don't want to chastise them. I've never been a follower of society. I've never been Orthodox. And I have no intention of becoming so. And so far as I am not Orthodox, I feel that I am useful. Especially in circumstances where following the Orthodoxy falls flat. Principles? Absolutely. It says, let's follow the principles of staying there. I do not break rules. It says, but in the sense of people who talk about it, thinking outside of the box, I live outside the box. And the wise supervisor, the wise administrator in a place where I work, in a place where I am laboring, would be the first one to say, let's let Jay follow his course. I've always done well in whatever job I had, but the larger and bigger and deeper consideration is what Jay can do for us in the pinch. When we need to rely on some other knowledge, we need to rely on some other insight. So that is my greatest benefit to you. And it's there, and it's available. Whatever way you bring me into your system, that's fine. That's fine. Like I said, I chose the economic track. It seemed good at that time. That I have no idea if that really is going to relate directly to what I ultimately end up doing. I really don't know that. It doesn't matter how you get me. What matters is that I am God. Thank you. So, there it is. And you can look at that on any level that you want to. It's what I call the Jason Nemerow package. It says, and you won't see it in the resume. You won't see it in that. You'll see it too a bit in my writings, of which there are many. You know, when it comes to, you know, I said, people say, well, you don't have much respect for gays, and you go, no, I don't. And you go, there's one word that speaks volumes about it. Weak. They're weak. When presented with a circumstance, I can tell you a lot of things about gays that you won't find in statistics that have been taken, because frankly, we treat them with kid gloves. If you put them into any situation, they will take the easy course. Of the act of being gay is to be weak. I'm a very ascetic person. So there's a lot of things that I just flat avoid. And being gay is one of them. Because it's just a tawdry, silly selfishness. Of allowing your body to rule the day. They can exist all they want to. Who can stop them? I said, but I don't have respect. And I don't. You can do as you wish. But that's a low thing. That's a low thing. Something that requires higher morals. Or, you know, becomes a thing of are they going to stand by their standards and morals, on the off chance they even profess any. I said, trust me, they won't. And that's what makes them, you know, that's what brings up the whole weakness thing. It just is. That's what it is. Oh, that's tasty. Anyway, so I think it's my biggest problem with them. You know, when they say, "Can't just stand on gays," like, yes, I did. It really worries me. The whole aspect of weakness. These are weak people. Okay. Sorry. I wouldn't put you in a serious situation. I'm not going to go out and take a survey who's gay here and try to figure it out. Because it's just, let me tell you. I said, is it unpleasant to just be an example? And to say, if I knew that you led a gay lifestyle, I wouldn't put you in the circumstances. I wouldn't hire you. Because you're not the right kind of person for anything. You know, can you serve me my burger at McDonald's? Sure, why not? You're pretty innocuous there. However, in the other circumstance where something important needed to happen, things like that, you would have to indicate so many other aspects of being a stand-up person to make up for the fact that you're doing that. And that's all. Oh, yeah. I hear that love mention. Anyway. So there it is. Ready to stop. This is Jay. Jason. I need to get back to doing the Jason. Because I want to get back to that level. And that's it.